No cup of tonight on the dock. Our committee is those that have not yet arrived, they will find us busy at work. Today is our, I need not to remind honorable members and anybody who is in house that will appreciate if phones are off. We would like to answer phones when we talk on the phone, when we are in the committee, because committees are just like as we are in plenary. I will request honorable member from AIC. That is not going to be allowed in moving forward. As we are also to also respect the decorum of the committee. This is our first committee in this term. With the understanding and hoping that all of us are going to ensure that as health is one of the first priorities, we are going to do our level best in ensuring that we take the work of the previous administration, previous committee forward. We are not going to be here as if we are starting everything afresh. There is work that has been done. Ours is to ensure that how best to ensure that we continue with that. With the understanding that we are doing that, whatever work that we are doing here, it's not about what I want, it's not about you want, it's not about, but it's about the citizenry of this country. And therefore, we have got a mammoth task in front of us. Understanding that health is a motive subject by its nature. What I think is also important is that we must understand that we are not only talking to ourselves, we are talking to everybody. In Parliament, in our various political parties, in our supporters, but in the main, the entire South Africa. Unfortunately, here there are no interpretation gadgets. As much as we would, we are not restrictive. But we appreciate if we use English, which is the language that is understood by everyone. But it doesn't mean that if one wants to use to speak in her comfortable language, we'll try, and those who understand Afrikaans, like Okelom Afrikaans Praat, Ganekut Afrikaans Praat, Sesuka Kitsibi Kitsibanyan, Suswate Adisabutu. If I speak Kosa, okay. I think it's going to be important that we say it up front that members may have received a notice that said you'll get documents in the prison court. And I'm of the understanding that members have done that. In those documents, in that pack, there is what is called a legacy report. That legacy report is for information. So if remember that it's a work that is not our work, it's a work that has been adopted by the previous committee. If there is anything further that a member, an honorable member, would like to get a further information, further clarity, the Secretariat is at your disposal on that, in whatever information And for that, and for that clarification that you made, the secretariat is different. We thought that it's going to be important that we say that upfront, so that we don't create an expectation that it's one of the documents that are to be discussed today. No, that's why one is making that emphasis. We will then introduce ourselves. Feel free, comrades, comfortable. One thing that I want to sensitize, we're all new, but some of us are returning members. Whatever you do, there are cameras here. I'm somebody who don't want to put their cameras that you don't know where they are. You will be seen, maybe we are being watched now by whoever. So let's try and, as I said initially, respect the decorum of the committee room. We'll introduce ourselves, and after members have introduced themselves, we will come to the secretariat. After the secretariat has done that, we will then ask whoever is a visitor in the committee to introduce his or herself, a full introduction and so from here, not just your name. And for the visitors, you will have also to use mics when you are doing that. I will then start from my right. It has got nothing to do with ideological connotation. I will start from the right, and we will continue like that. Thank you, Honorable Member.
No, thanks, Chair, and good morning to everybody. Well, I know, Chair, that it has got nothing to do with your ideological orientation, you're right. Because you are the opposite of the right ideological. No, thanks very much. I am Mr. A.F. Mashlalela. Member of the African National Congress in this house. Well, sometimes it's difficult sometimes to pronounce Mashlalela. Why was Mashlalela? Why was Mashlalela? So if you are unable to do that, to say Comrade Fish won't be a problem. Thanks very much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Something is happening to my ears. This is the mic. Okay. I'm Dr. Maisela, but I prefer to be called Comrade Maisela, because I earned that title honorably so far. Yeah. So I'm from Soweto, where it all started. And where it still happened. So I think we are all sitting here today because of that. We can differ here and there, but that is a fact. It's not just an idea. So let's keep that idea factual and make it work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am No College Majeke from the Eastern Cape, representing the United Democratic Movement. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable colleagues and guests. My name is Heinrich Vomink, and I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, colleagues, and particularly Madam Chairperson. My name is Sam Matthias. I'm representing Economic Freedom Fighters. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I must first apologize for using the phone. It was the first and the last time. I am Mahluban Zima Chafta, commonly known as Mahlubi. I am representing the AIC from the Eastern Cape. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Itumele Mosala, a volunteer of the ANC, responsibility to be a member of parliament and deployed in this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Nhlanhla Ncubendaba. I'm from the ANC, coming from Gauteng. Thank you.
Good morning, members and guests. My name is Lucas Mashalamba, I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lindo Utengomani. I'm the content advisor for this committee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Zubair Rahim. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Nombali Makobane. I'm the committee assistant.
Good morning. It's Shirley Williamson. I'm from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning. My name is Parky Ford. I'm Dr. Ambrosini, Honorable Ambrosini's Legislative Assistant. I'm from the IFP.
Good morning, members. I'm Salma Jansen, the Regulation Manager for the Tobacco Institute of South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. We will, in the unfortunate part is that in committee, doc, we are either doctors or honorable members. As we said the last time, from time to time we do make that mistake. So it's just to my responsibility is to ensure that at times I do remind, but it also makes us to feel at home, not to feel, as long as we're not going to abuse that, it is fine. It's my understanding that we are on point two of our agenda, which is the adoption of minutes, which are the minutes of the last portfolio committee meeting, which was held on the 25th at room M201. I'm also understanding that we have received these minutes by yesterday, but the onus is on you if you want us to go as page by page, or for members to just reflect where they want to, areas that they want to reflect, if there are any corrections, and whatever. So we are on page one of that, which point one was on the top. I'm not going to go through that because it's the attendance. We see all of us were present. One, it was in the opening. Any corrections on that? None. Page two, it reflects on what transpired that day. Corrections, amendments, committee. I'm sorry, honorable. Yes.
No, thanks very much. I think there should be a correction on the first line on top there. Mr. A.F. Mashalela, nominated, not elected. I didn't elect, I nominated.
Thank you, Honorable Whip. Any further corrections?
Judge, I just want to check with you if it is correct for us to catch some honorable members' names as Mr. rather than having honorable. I just want to check with you which one is correct for consistent purposes.
Secretariat wants to assist. The reason is that, well, with us in the previous, there was never a, if it's honorable, it's fine. So now you are raising something that I do think that maybe it will, maybe the Secretariat will assist us on that.
Good morning again, members. We don't, as officials of Parliament, we don't use honorables. We use the misses and the misses and the doctors. The honorable is for members when they are in the house or when they are addressing each other. Thank you.
With that, so that was the only thing that we wanted to say. Okay. Here are the minutes of the previous meeting. Honorable Mashalila?
No, based on the on the corrections here, I move that we accept the minutes as a sort of reflection of what transpired on the 25th of June 2014.
I second that the minutes are a true reflection of what transpired.
My apologies, honorable members. In terms of minutes, it's important that members mention their name for record purposes. I should have indicated that. My apologies.
Well, let me start. No, thanks. My name is A.F. Mashalela. I hereby move that we accept the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired on the 25th of June 2014 as per the amendment.
I hereby, Dr. Maisela, I hereby second the aforesaid by Honorable Mashalela that the minutes are a true reflection of what transpired on the 25th June 2014.
Any objections? None. Thank you, honorable members. We will then now come to point two of our agenda, which is the presentation by the Secretariat. Over to you.
Good morning, members. Before I start my presentation, I think I should inform members that about apologies, I've only received one apology for this meeting from Dr. James. He's out of the country, so he won't be able to attend the meeting. On the presentation, I'm going to present the processing of budget vote by the committee. So I'll start with the background. Section 27.1 of
Well, I just want to understand, Chair, what is the procedure on apologies? Are they read for this purpose of noting them, or were informed for us to accept the apology, or what is the? So that we understand going forward.
Apologies are read not the, it won't be the content of their approach, but just the sensing of the wound, so and so is not coming. And the moving and the seconding, just for looking for information in the community. That has always been affected. I would know with health previously. There is nothing that is on paper that says in terms of apology, we move, we accept them, reject them. But the committee section will inform the members that this member is not. If then there is a concern, at times there will be concerns that are raised by members. Others, they will raise it in their caucuses that so and so is not attending, and then whatever decision is taken by that committee, it is the business of that committee. I'm sorry, of that political party, but in the committee, it's for us to be informed of who is present and who is not.
But my worry is that you're saying it's a practice. I thought it's a rule. Because my understanding is that we are operating on the rules. We're not operating on the basis of practice. And if the rule is silent, then it's fine. Yes? But you can't say you're operating on the basis of practice. You should be operating on the basis of what the rule says.
Thank you, Wit, and my apology withdrawing the practice and saying according to rules. They are silent in terms of matters of apology. Thank you. May we then allow the secretary to continue?
Let me add to what the chair has just said, to say that in other, the absenteeism and the president and members who are present at the meeting, it's up to the political parties how they handle that, because they are aware that they are, in some parties they are aware that their member is not present in the meeting. However, in some parties that are represented in the committee, they have alternate members. That's why they have alternate members. So that when the main member is not present, the alternate member can come and attend, which was going to happen even in the case of Dr. James. They were going to send their alternate member to come and attend on behalf of Dr. James. I'm going to provide the background first. Section 27.1 of Public Management Act states that the minister must table the annual budget to the National Assembly before the start of the financial year. The Minister of Finance tables the national budget in March each year. Section 27.4 of the PFMA requires that on introduction of the annual budget, the accounting officer of each department must submit to Parliament measurable objectives of each main program in the department's budget vote, which is the process that we are going to start today in the afternoon, and the department is going to come and present to us their budget, their threat plan, and their annual performance plan. These measurable objectives are contained in the strategic plan of the department, of each department. The executive authority tables the strategic plan and the annual performance plan of each department. I should, when I come to this point, however, I think I should stress the fact that we don't have documents before they are tabled. We wait for the department to table the documents. It's only then that we have the documents. Other than that, we don't have documents before they are tabled by that relevant. upon taking of budget votes and strategic plans by the executive, the speaker refers this to the relevant committees to report on within a certain time frame. The NA Rule 137 requires that of committees to report on its work before a debate in the House on a particular vote, which means that today we are going to consider the budget, the certain and the annual performance of the department. Then the committee will have to draft its own report about what the department has said, then adopt that report. That report will be tabled before the department, the actual budget vote of the department, which is called the Extended Public Committee, which is an EPC. Committees are required to process their budget votes and finalize them by 11 July 2014, which is next week. EPCs will start on the 15th of July 2014. The EPC for the Department of Health is on Wednesday, the 23rd July, at the Good Hope Chamber from 10 to quarter to 12. So I think members need to prepare for that. The purpose of this presentation is to outline the processes to be followed by the committee in processing the budget vote. Phase 1, administrative support. A program for processing the vote is developed and presented by a committee secretary. A briefing on sector analysis is presented by a content advisor. A briefing on the research analysis of each department is presented by a researcher. Out of these processes, questions to departments are formulated to solicit information on the substance of the budget vote. The committee's process of interacting with the department is considered and adopted. Phase 2, departmental input. Overview by the minister or member of the executive is presented to the committee, which is going to happen today at 2 o'clock. Briefing by the accounting officer on the actual detail of the budget voting, including accounts for programs and associated allocations. Routinely, the whole process in phase 2 is what, in fact, even in phase 1, is going to happen today, because after my presentation, the content will take you through and the reception will take you through. Phase 3, which is committee deliberations and reporting. Members of the committee deliberate on each main program of the vote and associated budget allocation. The committee makes recommendations on the vote for a decision to be made by the House. A draft report of the committee is drafted from this deliberation for adoption. A committee deliberates on the content of its draft report. Upon adoption, the committee will report to the House through the publication of its report in the announcement tables and committee reports, also known as APC. Thank you.
I just wanted to check with members what will be an ideal process. She has just taken us through. In her presentation, she also said that the content advisor and the researcher will also make presentations. So should we get all those presentations, or you want to get some clarities in this first presentation so that we're able to move forward? It's up to members.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Honorable Chair, sir. Let's get all the presentations, because we may ask for clarification, which may be redundant when we have all the other clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Honorable Miller has covered me. Thank you.
Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, members, again. My name is Lindo Wutangomani, and the focus of my presentation will not be basically on the principles underpinning the budget oversight and how Parliament is supposed to do it. However, I would just like to focus on the sector analysis, just give an overview, highlighting the extent of the work of the department in aligning with its policies and programs to execute its legislative mandate, as well as government priorities. First of all, I just want to highlight the constitutional obligation of the work of the committee. As we know that the committees of parliament facilitate the passing of legislation, also to approve the annual departmental budget. Hence, we are focusing on the budget vote currently. Vuyo has already touched on the legal framework pertaining to oversight. The constitution mandates parliament or legislative organs of state to scrutinize or oversee executive action. This oversight mandates are stated on section 55, 92, 114, and 113 of the constitution. So the process that we're currently doing right now is constitutionally legislated. So it's based on constitution. It's not something that we think of. The process of oversight is also under section 213, section 214, and section 215. Also, that the most critical act in this whole process is the PFMA, of which Vu has already touched on, which focuses on passing or regulating the financial management of both national and provincial spheres of government. Zooming into the current status of the health sector, we are aware that the health sector has two types of healthcare systems. We have the public and the private health system, of which the private health system is costly and used mostly by middle to high income individuals and families, and the public health care system is used by the majority of the population, of which is 80%. There are many challenges that the health sector is currently facing, which includes increasing demand for health services related to the complex and changing disease profile of the country, a greatly increased burden of disease, which requires prevention and treatment of HIV and AIDS and TB. There's significant areas of weaknesses in the health system management. There's also numerous barriers which exist in relation to quality and access to health care. The availability of health personnel in the public sector is also a major challenge. The health system appears to be underperforming with its given level of expenditure. This is seen by the low health outcomes. Distribution of financing and spending is a challenge for the department. Leadership and innovation is also a challenge that needs to be addressed in the health sector. What is the mandate of the department? The department derives its mandate from the Constitution and the National Health Act 61 of 2003. The specific sections of the Constitution that mandate departments include Section 27.1A, Section 27.3, Section 28.1C, and Schedule 4. Schedule 4 it states that some cases that they are concurrent functions that both spheres of government have constitutional competency. The national and government and provinces are given certain constitutional competencies, hence Schedule 4 states that there's some way concurrent functions. The core functions of the department, according to the government's program of action, the department is responsible for attaining the outcome to save a long and healthy life for all South Africans, And the objective of the department is to improve life expectancy, reduce maternal and child mortality, combat HIV and AIDS, and decreasing the burden of disease from tuberculosis, also improve the efficiency of public health. The department is supported by the following entities. I will not go through all the functions that each entity is mandated to do, but just to briefly say that, for example, the MRC facilitates research, development, and technology. I just highlighted funding that they received in the financial year 2012 and 2013 in carrying out their mandate. The MRC received 416 million. The Council for Medical Schemes received 4.3 million, which assists in regulating the medical scheme industry. The National Health Laboratory Services received 104 million, which provides health laboratory services to all public healthcare providers. The Compensation Commission for Occupational Diseases received 2.9 million. And it's responsible for compensating ex-minors who have been certified to be suffering from occupational lung diseases. Additionally, we've got the Office of Health Standards Compliance, which was budgeted for $37 million, and it will be is responsible for inspection of public health hospitals. The national policy priorities are the following, which basically guides the department in their work. The NPP, the SONA, NSDA, the health sector 10.10. I would not elaborate on this because today we'll talk more of these policy priorities. What are the financial controls of this department of the health sector? Over the past 5 years, the department has received unqualified audit opinions. However, the previous committee observed that there's improvement in the financial and predetermined objectives are managed. However, the department didn't obtain a clean audit, of which their plan is to receive a clean audit within the next financial year. The AG also noted some concerns with regard to unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, which remains an area of concern for the health sector. The audit outcomes for the health sector within the last 3 years has shown this improvement, as you can see, from 2010-11 to departments had these same as 2011-12 still 2, and then on 2012-13 1, which is Limpopo. What are the key issues? In order to enhance its performance, the sector is aiming at fast-tracking the implementation of the National Health Insurance Scheme. It's also aiming to strengthen the fight against HIV and TB, non-communicable diseases, as well as injury and violence. All these, just to backtrack, that all these issues are being addressed on their APP and in terms of funding allocated on specific programs, of which it will come with Zubair's presentation. The department also aims at improving human resource management at state hospital and strengthening coordination between the public and private health sector. This is pertaining to the National Health Insurance, of which the private sector needs to be roped in. The department is aiming to deploy health teams to communities and schools. This is pertaining to the primary health care services. It's aiming to regulate costs to make health care affordable to all. We're talking about the health coverage for all communities, increasing the life expectancy from 60 years to 70 years. This is a long-term goal, which is also outlined on the NDP. Thank you.
Honorable Omnia. As stated earlier by Nandi Kushle, I'll be discussing the health budget, incorporating some of the APP and strat plan documents. Then if you can support me the APP and strat plan, this document. Yeah. So you would have gotten an APP, a strat plan, as well as a budget of the department, and that is what will be discussed this afternoon. My presentation will first look at the policy priorities and then the budget of the department, and thereafter some key issues. I've also provided members with a document on the health budget analysis, which contains more details. So this presentation will just cover some of the key issues. In the State of the Nation address, the President highlighted some of the following health-related priorities, which are to improve access to primary health care, increasing life expectancy from 60 to 63 years, and as Linda said, to 70 by 2030, to continue to invest in education and skills development, including in doctors. And we know that the President mentioned that by January next year, the first intake of medical students will be enrolled at the new medical university in Limpopo, which is quite an achievement. Then to reduce child and maternal mortality rates, implementation of the NHI, improve the quality of care in the public sector, HIV and AIDS treatment and support program by expanding mass HIV prevention communication campaigns. So that should be the focus. The National Development Plan identifies 9 goals for health. These are to average male and female life expectancy to increase to 70 years, TB prevention and cure progressively improved, maternal, infant and child mortality reduced, significantly reduced prevalence of non-communicable diseases or NCDs, injury, accidents and violence reduced by 50% from 2010 levels, health system reforms completed, primary health care teams deployed to provide care to families and communities, universal health coverage achieved, which is NHI, and health posts filled with skilled, committed, and competent individuals. Using those priorities, the National Department of Health Strategic Plan identifies the following strategic goals. These are to prevent disease and reduce its burden and promote health, make progress towards universal health coverage through the development of the NHI, and improve the readiness of health facilities for its implementation, re-engineer primary health care, improve health facility planning by implementing norms and standards, improve financial management by improving capacity, contract management, revenue collection, and supply chain management reforms, develop an efficient health management information system for improved decision-making, improve the quality of care by setting and monitoring national norms and standards, improving system for user feedback, increasing safety in healthcare, and improving clinical governance. It also aims to improve health, human resources for health, by ensuring adequate training and accountability measures. Okay, now I'm going to look at the policy priorities, and when we look at the budget, we need to say, is the budget speaking to those priorities? So this is a table of the health budget for 2014-15. As you can see, there are 6 programs. Program 1 is the administration. Program 2 is NHI, health planning and systems enablement. Program 3, HIV and AIDS, TB and maternal and child health. Program 4, primary health care services. Program 5, hospitals, tertiary services and human resource development. And Program 6, health regulation and compliance management. You will notice in the table that we have nominal increases and real increases. So nominal increase is the actual amount of money that is at the budget that increases, the budget that increased by, and the real increase is when you take into account inflation, how much has the department actually got. So if you just look at the total, you can see that from the 2013-14 budget, it was 30.5 billion. It has increased to 33.9 billion. The nominal increase is 3.4 billion. And the real increase is 1.4 billion. Okay, and this pie chart illustrates the allocations in percentage form for the different programs.
as you can see, Program 1 administration gets about 1%. Program 2 NHI gets about 2%. Program 3 gets 38%. Program 4 gets 0.28%, I believe. But, you know, PowerPoint can only give me one decimal or no decimal. Program 5 gets 56%, and Program 6 gets about 3% of the budget. So that's how the budget cake is sliced up for the different programs. Okay. As I said, the department's budget has increased by 11.2% from the previous financial year, from 30.5 billion to 33.9 billion. Okay, the two largest programs are Program 5, which is the hospital tertiary services and human resource development, and Program 3, which is HIV and AIDS, TB, maternal and child health, and these two constitute approximately 94% of the budget. So you can, if I can just go back, you can see that those two big slices of the chunk of the budget goes to Program 5 and Program 3. The allocation for Program 4, which is primary health care services, declines by about 8%, actually about 9%, and it receives less than 1% of the budget, so it's 0.28% of the entire budget goes to primary health care services. Yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to take you program by program. Okay, so Program 1 consists of the ministry, which gets about 8%. Program 2 is management, which gets about 26%. Program 3, corporate services, which gets about 46%. Program 4, office accommodation, gets about 26%. And Program 5, financial management, gets about 13%. Okay, the key purpose of the administration program is overall management of the department and providing centralized support services. This program's budget decreased by 1.5% from 405 million to 399 million. Okay? Office accommodation receives 26.5% of the program budget and is the only sub-program to have actually increased. Okay, on Program 2, we have the NHI, Health Planning and Systems Enablement. It consists of sub-program 1, which is management, which gets about 1%, technical policy and planning, which gets less than 1%, program 3, health information management, monitoring and evaluation, which gets about 9%, sector-wide procurement, which gets 4%, sub-program 5, health financing and NHI, which gets the bulk at 78%, international health and development is the 6th program, which gets about 8%. The purpose of the NHI program, or NHI Health Planning and Systems Enablement Program, is to improve access to quality health services through planning, integration of health systems, reporting, monitoring, evaluation, and research. The program budget increases by 26.3%. As I stated earlier, the NHI sub-program receives the largest portion of the program's budget, which is $487 million. It increased approximately 31.6%, and this is due to the contracting of general practitioners for the NHI. Okay, as we stated, Program 3 is one of the larger programs in the department. It consists of Sub-Program 1, which is Program Management, which gets less than 1%. Program 2, which gets 98%, that's HIV and AIDS, which gets 12.7 billion rand. Program 3, TB, which gets less than 1%. Program 4, Women's Maternal and Reproductive Health, which also gets less than 1%. Sub-Program 5, Child, Youth and School Health, which gets 2%. Okay, the aim of this program is to coordinate, manage and fund HIV and AIDS, TB and maternal and child health sub-programs. As stated earlier, 98% of this budget goes to HIV and AIDS. This sub-program increased by 16% from 10.9 billion in the previous year to 12.8 billion in the current year. The four remaining sub-programs combined receive less than 2% of the program's budget. The TB sub-program increases slightly from 25.8 to 26.4 million. which means it actually declines in real terms. When you take into account inflation, it actually declines. Okay, so women's maternal and reproductive health program is responsible for, amongst other things, deploying obstetric ambulances, establishing clan group mother's care facilities, midwifery education and training, and strengthening infant feeding practices. We also know that maternal mortality is one of the MDGs and is one of the priorities of government. This sub-program increased by only 100,000 as it received 17.1 million, which is less than 1% of the program budget. It's actually about 0.13%. The Child, Youth and School Health sub-program develops and monitors policies and guidelines and sets norms for standards for child health. The budget increases from 17 million to 218 million. This is quite a significant increase. This is mainly due to the rollout of the HPV vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, which is used to prevent cervical cancer in girls. So this will be rolled out to grade 4 girls. Over the medium term, key initiatives will be the continued rollout of the integrated school health program to cover all learning phases and strengthening the immunization program. South Africa has managed to reduce child mortality in the last 5 years. This is a positive outcome emanating from the scale-up of prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV, it's called PMTCT, the rollout of antiretroviral therapy, new child vaccines, pneumococcus and rotavirus, and other child survival programs. Okay, now we move on to program 4, which is primary healthcare services. Again, it has a program management component, which consists of 3%, district services and environmental health, 28%, communicable diseases, 15%, non-communicable diseases, 27%, health promotion and nutrition, 23%, and violence, trauma, and EMS, 4%. Primary health care services program aims to develop and implement a uniform district health system and aims to develop policy for district health services. The budget decreased by 8.9%. This is despite the department's stated aim of providing health services based on the primary health care approach. The non-communicable diseases sub-program assists provinces in implementing and monitoring chronic diseases, disability, elderly people, oral health, mental health, and substance abuse. Its allocation decreases from 25.9 million to 25.7 million. As we said earlier, primary health care is one of the priorities, as well as non-communicable diseases was highlighted, but both these, we can see the budget allocated to these priorities. Program 5, hospitals, tertiary health services, and human resources development. Program 1, management gets less than 1%. Health facilities management, health facilities infrastructure management gets 33%. Tertiary healthcare planning and policy, 54%. Hospital management, less than 1%. Human resources for health gets 12%. And nursing services gets less than 1%. The aim of the hospital, this is one of the biggest programs as well. The aim of the hospital tertiary health services and human resources development program is to accelerate the delivery of health infrastructure and strengthen human resources capacity in the health sector. The budget for this program is increased by 6.8%. The forensic chemistry laboratory sub-program allocation increases by 55.8%, from 78 million to 122 million. The hospital management sub-program declined by 1.8%. Similarly, the nursing sub-program declined by 34%, from 3.8 million to 2.5 million. Program 6 is the health regulation and compliance management. Sub-program 1 is program management, which gets less than 1%. Sub-program 2 is food control, which gets 1%. Pharmaceutical trade and product regulation gets 11%. Sub-program 4, public entities management, gets 69%. The Office of Standards Compliance, of health standards compliance gets 13%, and the CCOD, the Consultation Commissioner for Occupational Diseases and Occupational Health, gets 6%. The Health Regulation and Compliance Management Program aims to reduce the time taken for medicines to reach the market, establish the Office of Health Standards Compliance, and establish a National Public Health Institute. The program budget has increased by 13% from 763 million to 865.3 million. Most of the funds is allocated to the Public Entities Management sub-program. The Office for Health Standards Compliance sub-program increases by 87% to employ additional staff to establish itself and build its inspectorate function. It's important to note by the committee that the CCOD has still not tabled an annual report for the previous financial year. Okay, these are some of the key issues for consideration. There are more issues for consideration in the document. Maternal mortality, there are no significant increases in the program's budget despite the challenges South Africa is facing with maternal mortality. Similarly, primary health care is given as the department's approach to health care, yet this program does not receive budgetary priority. Non-communicable diseases also don't get a significant increase despite being highlighted as quite important in the strategic plan and APP. The NHI, an issue of concern, is the slow spending on conditional grants which need to be achieved. And lastly, the TB program budget has not increased significantly, despite South Africa having a high rate of TB, as well as the prioritization of TB. So the department will need to answer to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretariat. Members, those are the presentations that are in front of us. As we have agreed that we will get to all the presentations and then we will then ask questions from them. Then it's your turn. Whoever wants to start. You will pardon me, it's going to take time for me to learn honorable members' names. So if I call others by their names and I don't call others, please, it's not a deliberate thing. I will learn as I move forward. Honorable Chairperson, and then it will be honorable from the team.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I just want to raise one thing regarding the document. The font that they've used, I check it. They must increase it. I can't even read here. And I think with regards to the upcoming chairperson, they must just write a glossary for us so that, you know, we can refer and check what does this mean. But some of the questions that I've got today, they are not directed to the researcher. I think the relevant people who can answer is the department. Thanks, Chairperson.
I'm Professor Mathieu Mokgosi, and I'm the
before the next member. These questions that I hear are questions to assist us, because remember that there's going to be a presentation in the afternoon by the ministry and the department. Now, the content advisor and the research, because that's their brief, their mandate, they will look into and then go to assist us in questions that we are to ask. But also, it doesn't mean if we've gone through and you pick up something, you can't ask the department. So questions are not only will not only be limited to these that are here. You have heard the documents. You can. So I just want to make that so that honourable members understand that this is to assist us when we will then be interacting with the department. Thank you.
And
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to firstly commend the team for an excellent presentation. Thank you very much for that. I just have a question that I hope to actually raise with the department, but maybe you can help me shape this. I think one of the critical points that you've raised is the decrease in the budget for primary healthcare services, which is quite surprising. Now, within the NHI Green Paper, it speaks about the re-engineering of primary healthcare as being a key facet of that reform. So my question is, the elements around the re-engineering of primary healthcare, which include, for example, the ward-based outreach teams, community health workers, etc., would that fall under Program 2's budget for NHI, or would it actually be part of the primary healthcare budget?
No, thank you. Let me also commend the Secretariat for the presentation, which begins to put us into proper perspective on some of the issues that we need to grapple with as a committee. In the same breath, with the question asked by the Honourable Member, will it be proper that the researcher must actually unpack? I know you have attempted just to give the little bit details on each of the vote, each of the programs. Maybe just unpack each of the budgets. What does it entail and so on and so forth, so that we are clear, because it might be that we are looking at primary health care, for example, which is underfunded, and in fact, in another program, certain programs of the primary health care are actually funded by other programs. So maybe we can get that picture. That's the first thing. The second issue is on the process issue, the first presentation. I think it's a process issue. The clarity that I'm seeking is that I think there are three processes if I follow the presentation. The first one is to look at the administrative support. The second one is the departmental input. And the third one is the committee deliberations. If we can get clarity as to how do they interface, you know, when is the first one? When is the administrative? Is today's committee dealing with the administrative thing? The meeting of the 23rd, is it the last phase? You know, just to get some clarity so that we are on the know-how, you know, in terms of the process issues, so that we don't find ourselves, you know, hip-hopping from one area to the other. Thank you.
From my side, I would have appreciated if you could have unpacked, for instance, in the document, you have just missed the page. Oh, okay. For instance, under page 2, the what has then been outlined by the NDP, and top of that is infrastructure. Remember that we are all in the cry in the country, the aging infrastructure. There's, I would have thought that in the question, when we prepare ourselves in a question which is going to enable us to get a response from the department that is going to make us to really have a broader understanding of what is the situation in terms of the infrastructure in the country in relation to health. If you are possible, if it's possible for you to do that. Sorry, Honorable
Whip,
sorry.
No, thanks, and let me also join members.
to thank the staff for the presentation that they've made. While some of the issues we, as the previous honorable members reflected, we might have to raise with the department, but just some clarity. Would not have been better in order to assist us to understand if you would have captured the expenditure pattern, because we are dealing with the budget and we must approve a budget. But it would have been nice to understand how the department is performing on its expenditure, so that we understand what is allocated is going to be spent, because based on the previous records of the expenditure trends of the department. I'm not sure whether it will be practical, but that's what I would have preferred. It's not practical, it's fine, but in the future, it will be good that we are in a position in the process to compare, you see, the expenditure pattern of the department, so that when they come here, we must be convinced why they need this money if they have failed to spend previous money. If they have overspent, what we must understand, what is this one that we're allocating them enough for them not to overspend, and what measures are they going to be putting in place to make sure that going forward they don't overspend if they overspend. And all other related matters, so that at least we've got a picture of the expenditure patterns in totality, but in terms of programs for program. Because you might find in some programs they've reduced the budget because the programs themselves in the previous financial year have not been performing. And that's the reason why they felt that, because the programs are not performing and therefore they must reduce the budget. We don't know. But if we had that information, it was going to assist us a great deal. That's one matter, Chair. The other issue, it's a technical. When I was looking at the strike plan, the life expectancy differ from males to females. I'm not sure whether it's correct to say we are at 60 now, because if you look at their strategic plan, it says males is 57, and then female is 61. How do you categorize the two? Because they seems to be not life expectancy should not be equal, but they seem to be generalizing ourselves. But in their strategic plan, they've categorized them into two. It's just a clarity, so that at least we've got an understanding how we approach the matter. Well, it's fine with the primary care. The questions has been raised, because I was also wanting to raise it to just have an understanding. We would see is there no explanation in their documents as to why such a decline? But then it's a matter that maybe the department will have to explain. And then that goes to the issue of if you read the department's track plan, TB is a problem in the country. But if you look at the sub program that deals with it, there is a very, very slightly increase. But it's also one of the most challenging issues in the country. maybe we need to understand why is the department not putting much effort into it from a point of view of allocating resources, number one. But two, from the point of understanding why is TB resisting and what is that the department intends to do to deal with this problem, because it's a real problem. The other issue is the whole question that you've raised of the maternal health, which is part of the MDG, and we're not doing very well there. And the only increase is just 100,000. Very, very minimal. And we're not doing very well. We're doing very well in other MDGs, but on this one, we're not doing very well. But the increase, it's not substantial. If we can raise that and just get an understanding what is the story behind and why such a decrease in that, I mean an increase which is very, very minimal. I'm not sure the document itself, the strat plan, has got some errors. How do you handle it? It's got some errors. What do you do with it? Do you raise it with the department, or is just a matter that is not necessary? You can go to, for example, to page. Let me just reflect on one error that I just observed. If you go to page 5, I was Roman figure 2. I'm not sure what does it mean. Improving. I'm not sure. I can't understand when I read it. Improving what? On Roman figure 2 on page 5. The star output from training, I'm not sure exactly what it is. You see it? Page 5. Strat plan, yes. Strategic plan, page 5. Roman figure 2 on top there, on the right hand side. I'm not sure I'm trying to read it, I don't understand it. I'm just putting one example, but you go to page 7 and 8. The 7 is Roman figure, there's on your right hand side 4.2, social determinant of health. There's 8D. When you go to 8, there's D. There's no C. I just want to get a clarity what do you do with that? Because we're all new, in the province. When we find these errors, we tell the department to go and correct them. I don't know what is the normal approach here. And then last year, in the APP and also in the strategic plan, there are where they put purpose of the program. But in a way, they don't put the purpose of the program, but they put the purpose of sub-programs. Is there no need for the document to be the same? Where there's the purpose of the program, it becomes the purpose of the program. If the approach is that there must be purpose of each program, then all programs must be like that. But I see there's a lot of inconsistency. Somewhere where there's purpose of the program, then somewhere where there's purpose of the sub-program. And if, how do you measure at the end if the purpose of the program is not explained, whether they have managed to achieve what the program is all about.
if they only did this approval. Thanks.
The only area which I think I can assist in responding is when there are mistakes in the document. If I think the Honourable Fish has identified one decision on page 7 and page 8. I'm not quite sure if he has got the whole. There are others, which if they are major, and they also affect the content of the, it is at that time that we will then say, you know, we think that you have to go back and redo this. But if it's corrections that as they are presenting, they are then able to explain. But in moving forward, we caution the department that in future we think that this is completely unacceptable, because it means that they didn't do the thorough checking of their work, which reflects on them also. So I don't know whether those two that we've identified are the only ones, if there are also other members that have identified some other mistakes, some also that we have that package when they come and report. The other one, which I just want to make an advice, is you will be when the Honourable Fish was raising that, maybe he said if you can now the expenditure pattern, we are going to have about an hour or two after we've done this. Are you able to or you can do it now? If you can do it now before we break for say that is fine. If it's quite a huge work, I was going to recommend that when you break, if you can quickly put it in there. But if you are confident that you can do it now, it's fine with me. Thank you.
I just want to check with our researcher if there were no grants and allocation of provinces in this report.
All right. I hope you have noted that question.
Thank you, Honourable Members, for the question. Just to start off with on the fund size, that is the parliamentary template that we're using. So that is the fund size that we use in Parliament. But if Honourable Members, through the Chair, would like to request the larger fund size, that can also be arranged. Also a glossary, we are preparing an orientation paper for the Honourable Members, which will include the glossary. But each paper will have abbreviations, but they will be explained in full. So in the document, these abbreviations are explained. Usually, the first time they are used, it's out in full, and thereafter the abbreviation is used. So Honourable Members can also find the document easier to use. Okay. Yeah, one of the issues we find is the issue of the primary health care and also the re-engineering and the NHI budget. As you know, the Department of Health budget basically consists mainly of transfers. I actually had a slide on that which I deleted because the presentation was getting too long. But 30 billion is for transfers for to provinces and subsidies. 2 billion is for current payments, which includes cost, you know, the employee salaries and those kind of things. And 1 billion is for infrastructure transfer. That information is in the budget. So just over a billion, 1.025 is for capital assets. $30.9 is for transfers and subsidies, that's to provinces and municipalities, departmental agencies, non-profit institutions and households. And current payment is $2.1 billion. So that will give you a total of $33.9 billion. So, sorry, I deleted that slide. I think the question was raised later. As you know, health is a provincially led mandate. So the department is going to say that the budget for primary health care, the budget for this, the budget for that is going through the province. But as a national department of health, they should be setting the priorities, and that priorities are through their budgeting as well. Not only in terms of the transfers that they made, but also in terms of the management of the programs run by them. So it's important to interrogate them as well on the primary health care. We're just trying to figure out the primary health care issue in terms of NHI budget or from the actual program. But yes, re-engineering is going to be very costly, so where is that money going to come from? That is a key question.
Just to add on what Rube has just said, I think another critical issue is that we need to monitor the NHI pilot sites, because they sit with grants which they're supposed to implement all the key programs into the NHI, including your primary healthcare and engineering. They must introduce the school-based programs, they must introduce the wards teams. So they have a grant specifically for that. So the department would sit with the function of the department is to monitor the process. So the primary healthcare budget from the department will not be entirely on implementation of those programs. So what the committee needs to question the department is a breakdown on the pilot site districts, how they spend those grants in implementing the PSC engineering and the allocation of those funding.
Yeah, just to add to that, the conditional grants have been significantly adjusted, what's the word, restructured. Before, you used to have the infrastructure grants. You know, there were a number of different grants. These have now been changed to the provincially delivered health facilities revitalization grant and the nationally delivered health facility revitalization component. It's important to note that these conditional grants are going to be reduced by 200. The figures are in the paper. It's important to note that due to slow spending, these conditional grants will be reduced. So this is a critical issue that the department or the committee should address with the department, that, you know, the slow spending has meant that these budgets will be reduced, and they should explain to the committee what they are going to do about it.
To touch on what the chair has commented on regarding infrastructure, the implication is that if the provinces are not utilizing the infrastructure grants, does it mean that the hospital infrastructure is stand still? So it's a huge problem that I think the committee must actually address it with the department, that if there's grants for infrastructure and yet it's understand, how are they fulfilling the
the mandate of revitalizing the facilities.
The issue of life expectancy, I think it is known that males have a shorter life expectancy than females, and I do believe that it's an average, if I understand it correctly. But we can raise that issue with the department exactly, you know, which life expectancy is it? Are we going to look at a general, you know, just the life expectancy combining males and females, or separate the two? It looks like they are combining the two, but that can be raised with the committee as well. I mean, with the department. And on the issue of TB, again, the department will probably say that the budget for addressing TB will go by the provinces. So we need to, or the committee needs to interrogate the department on this issue. Is it actually getting the priority that it deserves? TB co-infection rates with HIV is quite high, and we know that the National Department of Health has a huge budget for HIV and AIDS, but the department has a very minuscule budget for the TB issue. So this must be raised with the department itself. Why is there such a small priority given to TB from the National Department side, seeing that it leads the provincial departments? It is a leader.
Okay, to add on that, I just also noticed that on the department's APP regarding TB, they've introduced a lot of other indicators. For example, they're going to increase the number of trained TB tracing coordinators. Is this function based with the department, or is it based at the provinces? Because I thought the implementation of TB programs should lie within provincial TB programs. Other indicators include TB death rates. The department will start monitoring that. I'm not sure if they have a system running already, a health information system for monitoring this TB rate. Of significant importance is that they go to increase the number of facilities that will assess and provide MDR-TB treatment, of which I think it is critical as MDR-TB is a huge problem in the country. And also, I think what the department should also emphasize is the integration of the two, HIV and TB, because there's a lot of co-infections between the two. Is the integration of the programs already implemented, or is still, you know, disjointed?
There are other hands, so I wanted to check that in the first lot of questions, sort of clarities that have been made. So I'm going to respond on the project. On the process, you asked that whether the 23rd was the last phase. I would say it's an ongoing process, because there's a time when we are going to consider the annual report of the department, and then the committee will have to produce its budgetary review and recommendations report, which is called the BRRR. In that process, we have to go back to what the department has said on the what they are going to spend on their budget. So it's an ongoing process. And also after the 23rd, you would have noticed that we are not going to meet with the entities before adopting the report. Then, which means that we'll meet with the entities that report to us on their budgets and their threat plans after we've adopted our report. So it's going to be an ongoing process.
But if I can take you back to TB, it's important to note that the department did not spend, actually the department spending on the SAR program was very poor. It only spent 65% of its budget in the previous year, which means there was an underspending of 7 million in the previous year. And the TB cure rate, they achieved a 73% TB cure rate against a target of 80%. You know, a number of their targets they were not able to meet on TB. So this brings into account the actual performance of the department on the sub-program is poor, their spending on the sub-program is poor, and the outcomes are poor. So, and TB is a priority. So it needs to be raised. One achievement of the department is that they are rolling out gene expert machines, which is a very expensive machine, but it cuts down the turnaround time to test samples dramatically. And South Africa, I believe, has the highest number of gene expert machines, so which is quite an achievement. However, on the TB sub program, they are doing poorly.
Okay, on the issue of maternal health, it's a big problem. We raised this issue with the department over and over, but I think what's critical for the department is that what they actually say is that the key objective or for them, the only factor that they would address in addressing maternal health is prevention of mother to child HIV. So I think if the department can just backtrack and work on critical factors that affect the increase in maternal mortality, it has nothing to do with the money allocated to it, but we need to look at the underlying factors that contribute to maternal mortality. Hence, we'll be able to improve the figure, because we really sitting at a huge number. There was a joint review that was done by the department in conjunction with other stakeholders. I think it was released in April, which shows that maternal mortality is actually increasing. And when we thought we were actually going down, we would not meet the 2015 target. Hence, I think it's critical that the department of just backtrack and assess the situation in terms of how we can address this besides prevention of mother to child transmission of HIV.
Okay, I'm not sure if members can properly see the slide up there. That is from last year's annual report analysis. 89% of the sub-program was spent, while only two out of the nine targets were achieved, and none of the targets for maternal mortality were achieved. So that, yeah, I can take you down. So these are some of the measures that the department, you know, measures themselves on. Or yeah. So in terms of antenatal care coverage rate, they received they achieved 98.5% antenatal coverage, 44% antenatal coverage before 20 weeks versus a target of 50%. Yeah, there are a number of indicators, and they haven't achieved any of them, except that 100% of facilities provide contraceptive services, but even that needs to be drawn down.
Are you done now with the set of the first glasses? Okay, I saw two hands. Honourable member from the UTM and the honourable member from the EFF. Thank you, Chair. I hope for the question that I'm going to ask is not in the book, because I don't have them at the moment. I just want to find out from our researchers, the TB figures, are they more prevalent in rural areas or urban areas? That will be able to help me in the next question or comment that I can make.
that you struggle to know all on them. I think it would be in the interest of all that each time when a member speaks, he or she introduces herself over and over. I'm Seth Matthias. I'm comfortable to be called Sam. At the scale of things, at the performance of the department and the Portfolio Committee on Health, well, I must hasten to commend the work that the research, our staff here, members, colleagues that prepared for us. The Minister of Health is one of the highly rated minister. It would then mean that the Portfolio Committee on Health would equally be equal to the task to match the performance of the of a workaholic minister of health, frankly speaking. I think credit must be given to those who deserve it. In this case, the minister deserves credit. So it means then our level of capacity must also be looked at. This brings me to a question whether, at the scale of things, the department has a huge bureaucracy, and the Portfolio Committee on Health relies on only three or four of our colleagues. I suppose that perhaps we have to look into that, maybe through a recommendation to the whichever authority which is responsible for looking into the personnel of committees and personnel of parliament. I guess I don't have a financial aspect amongst our members here. I speak on the collection. Just in passing, Madam Chair. On the issues of which have been presented here about the process, matters, budget, and all of that, the NDP, though I'm not a supporter of the NDP, but the policy of the government of the day, makes bold undertakings to address challenges of health and healthcare in general in the country by 2030. But I must admit, Madam Chair, that it fails to deal with the whole question around pharmaceutical and sourcing of medicinal products and all of that equipment, particularly medicinal products. And it would seem that as a country and as a department, we are merely throwing money into the sea upon getting a trader or a businessman who presents a proposal about what he or she can sell to us in the form of medicine. Maybe it would be in the interest of the country going forward that we must check with the department. Have they ever thought of the establishment of creating a pharmaceutical company which would be sourcing medicinal products and all of that, so that we know and we are in a position to quantify what we spend on and of which value and of what quality? If perhaps that part can be explained, that would be very grateful and to take us forward. Lastly, the National Health Insurance, there are several pilot sites that are run. It would be important if you can get baseline information of the successes, the challenges, the weaknesses in relation to piloting the NHI. The effective way of defending the concept of the NDI against its critics is only if we are empowered with knowledge and information about the successes and all of that. Because the NHI is designed, the intention are noble, aimed at creating and establishing universal access to healthcare services, regardless of one standing in society. So it's important if we can be provided with baseline information around those matters. Thanks, Chairman.
I'm going to talk to you.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. Before I seek clarity, I presuppose that Honorable Sam is not suggesting in any way that as Honorable Member sitting here, we are not capacitated to deal with the issues, because it would really go to the core of undermining our intellect. If that was the initial input from him, when he made his opening remarks before he could ask his question. Just for interest sake, to the researcher, the Compensation Commission for Occupational Diseases, I see mostly the focus is on mining. Are we having over and above the tax that are paid by the mining and so on and so forth? Is there some percentage of money that the mining sector in the Republic are contributing towards this particular fund, you know, or is the burden left with the government, you know, to attend to this particular issue of TB, which is acquired when people are still in the mining sector? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I promise I'll be brief, because I know our blood glucose levels are going down and we all want refreshments. But before going there, if I can ask Mr. Rahim, just to go back to the point that you made on maternal mortality rates. We had said that we were not meeting those targets. Just as he's getting there, just as a preamble to this, you know, we set bold objectives and goals, and then we set targets, and that allow us to make incremental steps towards that. And it's important that these are lined up, and that we gather accurate information along the way. So when I look at that, and I look at the fact that I think it's said that many of the measures had, I don't know if that's the right side, but when the measures had been met, but the maternal mortality rate was still unacceptably high. The question that I had then is, well, when I read that, I can only make two conclusions. One is that either the measures that were set weren't congruent to the ultimate goal, and that's a planning problem, and that needs to be raised, or the information on the measures, in other words, all the statistics you see there, is problematic in that it isn't 100% accurate. So it's either one of the two. And so my question really just on the latter is, where do they source all of this data from? Are they being sourced from databases that are in fact sort of tested, are robust, and are accurate?
Before they respond, and I'm also subject to correction. Some of the questions are questions that we are to ask the department, so that in their response, the researchers and the content advisor are then able to go back again. So I didn't want to say to call you to order. But as I was listening, I think those are the. If in what you honourable members have asked, they are then able just to give an advice on either an approach to that question, so that we are able to get exactly what we want, the chair will be comfortable. But if it is to get information, the people that are to answer these questions are the department. I have just picked up, and I think the secretariat must assist us here. Honorable from UDM is not part of the list in here. Maybe it's check into that. Maybe that's why she then was unable to get whatever relevant documentation that is needed. I'm sure outside when we break, we'll try and sort that with her, because she was present in the last meeting and she's present now, but in terms of the attendance in the minutes, her name is not there. Over to you. Then after that, we'll break for tea, after your response.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the issue of the TB figures, unfortunately, I don't have the figures with me at the moment, and I can't respond on whether it's more prevalent in rural versus urban. But speaking from what I know, TB is found in both rural and urban areas. And what was an important issue was that it was found that mines were main driving force or a risk factor for TB and TB spreading, and that that those centers around there were at high risk. And then once those miners go back home to the rural areas, those areas are at risk again. So that was one of the findings that I remember off the top of my head, but I don't know which one is more prevalent off the top of my head now. Yes, on the issue of the country producing medicinal products or pharmaceutical products, this was actually one of the recommendations of the FFC, the Financial and Fiscal Commission, when they looked at the at the NDP. One of the recommendations was actually to look at the establishment of a pharmaceutical company geared to South Africa, if I remember correctly. So that is something that could be raised. In terms of the NHI and the baseline information, the committee is well within its right to ask the department for a presentation on the NHI, the pilot sites, which I'm sure they'll be happy to provide. Do you have an idea? Okay. On the issue of the CCRD and whether mine contributes to a specific mining fund, I don't have an accurate answer on that. I know that the CCRD is responsible for providing for those miners who have been certified to have contracted an illness whilst working on mines, and I do know that the CCRD is performing very badly. So it's up to the committee to actually look at that. They haven't submitted an annual report for last year, and I believe they haven't submitted one for the previous year. I've been informed that they have submitted an annual performance plan. I have to get my hands on it, but they are not performing very well. There are issues there with legislation, which conflicts with the labor, Department of Labor. I think it's Odimwa versus COIDA, but we can prepare something for you on that. But it's something that the committee should take up. On the issue of either the measures are wrong or the information is not accurate, one of the criticisms by the AG of the annual reports of the Department of Health is that the information provided in the annual reports were not accurate, or that there were no source documents to back up the information. So this is a critical issue. And if you look at the strategic plan and the annual performance plan, the department is looking at improving for management information systems. So they should be assisted with that, and we as a committee should focus on that issue. The department has developed a database called the NIRD database. I forget what it's called. It's NHIRD. NHIRD, I can't remember what it stands for. We'll get the acronym, which draws down to district level where you can get information from the district level, which they utilize. So they are making great strides in that, but it is a critical issue. Is the source data accurate? And, in previous years, the AG has said that there are question marks about it. Do you want to add to that?
Just to add that the department has been receiving unqualified audit opinion. Hence, there were findings which were related to data issues. So I think that's one point where the department needs to improve. Information systems are not up to the highest standard that is expected. So we can say that maybe the figures are questionable, but that will have to be addressed with the department. With regard to the mining sector and contributing to the burden of disease,
just to share that the minister met with the previous committee last year, and he announced that the task team that's been formed, a strategic task team, obviously trying to address the mining and TB, burden of TB. What he said is that the task team will look into all these mining areas and actually try to help the miners and their communities, because currently the mining sector is not contributing towards this burden of disease. We visited some mining areas, for example, Northwest and Mpumalanga, and it's quite clear that the mining industry is not participating. So we're hopeful that with this new task team, there will be improvements in terms of mining health. Thanks.
Is there something else you want to... Okay, Honourable Ruth?
No, thanks. Yeah, no, I've seen it's there in the ATP, so yeah, it's here in the ATP, the expenditure pattern. It's just that it's too detailed, so it could have been better just to be summarized. It's there, each program does have expenditure pattern. Yeah.
Your hand is up.
Okay, I just wanted to add quickly on the expenditure that the budget process is ongoing, so we'll be monitoring the trends as we go along. Thank you.
Honourable, is it just something that has not been responded to, or it's a new thing? I hear your hands up.
I think it's got to be Honourable Musala's question. Referring to the lack of capacity in the committee. All I raise a hand to say is you can read the legacy report about the previous report for the committee. It is in the context of that report that I say the capacity of the committee, politically and administratively, should be looked at so that when we get to come to deal with the bureaucracy, which is large, which is highly capacitated, we are equal to the task.
In future, you will only speak when the chair has given you permission to do so. May we break for tea? And in breaking for tea, remember that we will be back at 12 o'clock sharp. The department will start even if we are only three. So 12 o'clock sharp, we'll be here to get a presentation. Or I'm told, I'm told you are going to have lunch at 1 in the same venue. Then we can come back at 1 o'clock for lunch. Then at 2 o'clock, the department is here to make a presentation. Thank you, Honourable Member.